Welcome to this week's edition of the Casual Shooters Podcast, your premier podcast for the casual shooter. This week's guest is a returning star. He hasn't been on in a couple years. He's even switched teams since the last time he was on. And no, I don't mean boy-girl. I mean shooting teams. He is my Chinese brother from another mother. He is, or if you would, join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. Frank Pew Pew Shu.
Yay! Thanks, Dave, for that awesome introduction. Yeah. A brother from another mother. I love that.
There you go. Absolutely. It's been a couple years. Boy, do we need to catch up.
Oh, we do. We do. It's been a couple years, you know, since last time. Got my second kid, taking care of kids, you know, COVID and
so, yeah,
a lot of things happen in the world as well. So not just me in the world.
No, it's been crazy since then.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think you've even switched jobs, haven't you?
Yeah, I switched my day job basically back to the sales. I was a traveling trainer for my previous job, and now I'm back to sales. So I'm always like a sales guy. So yeah, I'm back to sales.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the family, because when you went to SHOT Show, what was that, 3 years ago or was it 2 years ago? And your wife had you guys just had a brand new one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was 3 years ago, 2021. Yeah. 2021. The first SHOT Show that came back from COVID. Yeah.
There you go. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was that your first or your second?
No, that's my second SHOT Show. The first was a while ago. And then the second SHOT Show was taking the kind of volunteering in the booth, you know, and then kind of walk around here and there as well. So that is what happened. And then we did a podcast over there, the special one over there, right?
Yeah. No, I meant children though.
the kids growing up fast, they speak both languages. They speak Chinese and they speak English as well. So that's what happened. Three years. First kid is 3 years. I got my second kid. That's like one and a half, almost 18 months. Yeah, 14 months, 13. Hold on. My wife's going to kill me. Hold on, November.
Your kids are going to kill you when they grow up. And your dad didn't even know how old I was.
March, April. Okay. See, almost 18 months. So 17 months on my second kid.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So walking around, getting into everything.
Walking out, getting everything. She just he just climbed the crib last night, which is when I'm like, what is going on? So it was like running around in his room, and then we heard crying, and then we saw the baby monitor. I'm like, where is the kid? And turns out he's just walking around in the room. I'm like, all right, go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you have boy, girl, two boys, what?
Boys. Two boys.
Two boys. That's what I have. Two boys. Okay.
They're the best. Fighting with each other, you know, fighting with me. I'm like, dude. So it's fun. It's fun. Two kids is fun. And then people was asking, are you, cause I always want to have a girl, but my wife, she's like, I'm done. So I'm like, all right, cool.
I stopped it too, because I didn't want to be outnumbered, because like right now your wife can manage one and you can manage one. Mm-hmm. If you have a third one, who's managing the third one?
Exactly. And that's the same thing with us. Like before, so we have an SUV, the midsize SUV. So we just like, all right, you know what? If everything fill the trunk, the back, and then the back seat, we're done. So technically, we're done. Now, even though we can fit one more, but then if we go travel, that's like extra suitcases or stuff we need to bring. So we're like, all right, you know what? We're good. Two kids fit in a car. We don't need to upsize the car. And turns out I bought a truck. So, so I'm like, all right, we bought a truck. So here we go again. And she's like, no. That's only for your range equipment. I'm like, oh, okay. Good to know. Yeah.
What kind of truck did you get?
F-150, man.
I like it.
Yeah. XLT. Not like, I know it's not like a bougie limited or King Ranch. No, just the XLT, which is good.
That's ones. What I had. Yeah, I had a 4-door XLT.
Yeah.
Probably, man, it's probably 20 years ago now, though.
Wow. Goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
So getting more and more American each time, you know, each time we talk, getting more and more and more American. I thought, see, the first time was like, oh yeah, you shoot guns. And now I have what? I have a Weber grill. I know it's not fancy. People are asking, we're not doing Weber grill anymore. We want Traeger. So not yet smoker, but I have grills and I have truck now. So yeah, I'm getting there.
There you go. You're going to turn your green card into an American card. I like it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm a citizen. Yeah. So that's another good thing.
You are a citizen. Yep.
Yeah. Starting from green card all the way to American card. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Okay. So as you briefly mentioned, I mean, the last time I had you on, mm-hmm. you had just gone to IDPA Nationals. A team from Taiwan had come over that you'd been coaching. Mm-hmm. Won a bunch of stuff. They all won something. Has any of that continued? Have you kept in contact? Are they doing it again?
Yeah, you know what? They are coming this year in May. So we're going to shoot the Rocky Mountain. So they call it RMR, but they changed to Third Rock or whatever. So basically, we're going to shoot Colorado State / Rocky Mountain Regional. So it's a 2 level 4 match in 2 days. So you get 2 level 4 matches. So you get, so for IDPA, for those people who don't know IDPA, you got like double point basically for that match. It's basically the same match, same layout, same amount of people. So there's like 300 plus people coming and shoot on Saturday. We shoot everything on Saturday. They tear down and do the rotation for the next day, which is, yeah, the target presentation probably won't be different. And then shoot on Sunday as well. So they're going to come and shoot that match this May. Yeah. So I'll be able to coach them, but different group. Some of the people that they shot last time, they become my assistant. So they will be coaching new people as well. So that's continue on.
Now, are they going to come back later in the year for IDPA Nationals, or is this the only match they're coming over for?
I'm not sure. I haven't talked to them about that part yet. But I'm pretty sure some people might want to come, but you never know. You never know.
Right. Yeah, I was almost thinking that's what was going to happen, almost like they're coming over to shoot these two matches to get enough points to qualify for Nationals and shoot. But
Hopefully they can also get some points to qualify, but we'll see. We'll see. I'll definitely shoot the national for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as I stated in the intro,
mm-hmm.
you are now shooting for somebody else. Who is it you're shooting for?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to kind of like looking at this particular brand since they pre-launched it back in 2017, 2018, a while ago. And I was able to shoot, starting this year, I'm going to shoot, represent Lago Arms. So if you don't know Lago Arms, Alien is the gun they're famous of. So I'm fortunate to shoot for Lago Arms, especially here in the US, and to shoot their platform, which is the Alien. Yeah.
Yeah. Now they originally came out, I saw in 2020, they were best at SHOT Show in 2020, but this is a newer version, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So funny thing, the quick story about the Alien. So when they came out, and then they've got the picture on the Gen 1 on the top right here. Ooh, right here. Yep. So this is their Alien. So this, especially this gun, when they first designed, they always want to be the lowest barrel on the market, which is basically negative 1 inches on that. So if you look on the sight pictures on both sides, you will see is a, hey, that looks like a normal sight. It should be on the top of the barrel, but the barrel should be on the top, but turns out it's on the bottom, which is you see that on the middle. And that basically will give you almost like no recoil. When I say no recoil, it still have recoil. The energy is still there, but the recoil inertia is not going to be on this, like a traditional Browning tilting barrel. It's going to be like this coming back, just like an open gun. So for those people shooting an open gun before, that's the feeling that you're shooting an alien, even though it's not ported barrel, it's not compensated, but that feeling, that energy just straight going back. So that's the first generation when they first come out. It was a big hit in Europe. This engineer was a designer for CZ for a long time. CZ Scorpion is his design. So he come out and then designed his own platform that he has a dream for a long time. So finally he got a chance to gather a group to found the Lago Arms in Czech Republic. So that's why it kind of the angle, it's more like a CZ-75 feeling when you grip the gun on the first generation. So when they introduced this gun to US market, you know, most of the Americans are like, oh, okay, I see. It feels like a Glock. It feels like a CZ. But in order to catch the American market, they designed to the second generation, which is called the Alien Creator Edition. That creator edition only limited to 500 at the time, back in SHOT Show 2020. Yep, 2020. So they create that one, which is basically changed the grip angle to a little more vertical, like a 2011. So that is the second generation that came out. So this year they came out with a new one. They really want to target into the competition market. So they come out with the Alien Creator. So Alien Creator, basically the second generation, and LO kit, limited optic kit. So that's basically the gun they are introducing at SHOT Show. So yeah, this is the gun right here. Ta-da! So it's more
very
like
nice.
2011 grip angle instead of like a tilting angle like a CZ. So that gives you the feeling of holding a 2011. And they also, if you look at the comparison of the video on the picture, this is the magwell they come with. So this is literally, and then they also come up with the gas pedal. So yeah, that's the gun right there. Limited optic. So this is the Lago Arms Creator. Limited optic. So creator basically means it's basically almost like American angle on the 2011 style. So they come with a different magazine, especially this kit. They comes with the 140 millimeter. So basically it is compliance with USPSA on limited optic. So it fits 22 rounds, so 22 plus one in a chamber. But you can also get the 17 rounder, just like this one. Yeah. So that's the gun right here. Woo!
Okay, so the creator then is the like Alien 2.
Yeah, it's basically like an Alien 2. Mm-hmm. Alien 1 is okay. still in the market. People are still shooting it, but just with the angle. The angle is different than internal part. It's the same.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at so what I'm sharing on the screen here, the far right version right here. I mean, that looks a lot like a 2011 grip.
Yeah, all the creators are 2011 grip. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. They got a G10 grips on the side, so it's pretty grippy. And then they have, and funny thing about the Alien, the reason why it's called the Alien, it is really, really interesting because you never seen this kind of gun before. Like traditional Browning tilted barrel, yeah, this is not like that. So it's very, very evolutionized, very inventive on this. So one screws on the back will take down your back strap, your side panel, and your front strap right here. So everything will just, you can take out. Then in the future, if they come out with a different thickness or size on the module, you can just put it on and then screw it back in with one screws. And then that's where that mag will hold as well. Very, very innovative.
Wow, very nice. And yeah. You say right now And right now you can get the 22 round mags.
Mm-hmm. So the kit, so this is what the box will look like. So they come with the box just like this. This is definitely a very, very high quality box you can take on the plane. So when they open it, they give you one magazine already with the gun. So there you go. So one magazine in the gun. So this is what that looked like. And this is where they put the gas pedal. So if you take on the gas pedal, you can put that into that side. And then they also give you where you can clean the cleaning kit. So their cleaning kit is just one piece of metal, which is this one. This is basically, so like I said, it's not traditional Browning system. It is a gas delay piston system. So just treat it like a AR-15 with a piston gun or AK-47. That's basically what that looks like. It's a piston delay system. And so it is driven by gas. So that cleaning kit, this one, is basically where you clean your gas chamber. That's the piston chamber. Yeah. So that's what that looked like. So this configuration that Dave is showing, there's three different things that you're seeing. The center one is the limited optic, which they are targeting right now for USPSA limited optic division. The full kit on the left side, they give you three 17 rounder magazine, which is this one. And then they give you an iron sight. And also it's interchangeable with the optic on it. That one is a very, very cool. It turned that into an open gun basically, because the optic is not moving. It's just stay on the top, and all this, the slide on the side is reciprocating. The top is not moving. So that's what that looked like. And then of course, on the right side, they give you slightly different modular, but it's basically the same on these two full kit. They give you holster as well. But the center one, because it's a limited optic, they give you slightly different packet on the configurations. Yeah. Sorry, I just throw out a lot of commercial. Being a salesperson again, I'm sorry. It should be just me.
No, that's good. That's exactly what I was looking for. So, yeah, I mean, looking at the pictures, the one in the middle is definitely coming different. It looks like you have a magwell on the other two packages, but they're much smaller in comparison to the limited optics.
Exactly, because those two, I know they want to. So the center one is especially they designed for USPSA, especially designed for limited optic division. So that's why they make that magwell like a flower pot. It's like huge. It's like really, really big. Like I never seen. I mean, of course, I seen the magwell this big, but I'm just like, whoa, that is really, really deep and big.
Yeah, you've probably never run one in competition until you started shooting limited optics.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am officially switching over to limited optic division. And funny thing on this, I'm still used to the traditional Browning tilting barrel gun. So if you are used to that, when you shoot Alien, you will overcompensate the gun. It will make the gun dip. So you cannot hold like you used to. You have to hold it slightly different. I'm still trying to find the right pressure. But otherwise, if I shoot it more, even more, I overcompensate it. It's the second shot is always going down, which is crazy. And then now I'm starting to getting a little bit used to. I shot this gun for 1,000 rounds now, to be honest. Yeah, 1,000 rounds. I shot three classifiers on this. So every local match that we have won at least one stage, our classifying stage. They are all very, very shy to GM shooting this gun.
Okay.
So I'm like high master. Literally, if I reshoot it again, and I'm probably going to be GM. It's always like, oh, just a little bit, like 0.003 to become GM, that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I changed the picture on the screen, and I'm looking at, so you see there's a very good picture of the decreased grip angle, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
But going over to the third picture, updated slide and top rail, I think that's a really, that's a good one showing how low the barrel is. It's literally right above the trigger guard.
Yeah, it literally is. So if you hold it like this, see, your trigger finger is basically your pointed finger. This is literally the barrel. So you thought the barrel is on the top because most of the time it's right here. But no, the barrel is right here. It's where you point it.
So let's talk. I know you've shot some matches with it, and I know you've done well in those matches.
Mm-hmm.
You just talked about how the recoil is different and you're still adjusting to it. Mm-hmm. But in a match, when you're trying to go at speed, how has that helped or hindered you moving through a stage?
Ooh. I'll say this. It shoots like an airsoft gun, to be honest. It shoots like an airsoft gun. So it moves. Okay. Another thing on that is because it's not moving, it shoots like an airsoft gun or maybe like a CO2 driven gun. That optic, it's literally there. So it's very comfortable to shoot more than 15 yards away. And then the trigger reset is short. It's really short. So think about the high-end 2011 guns. That's basically this gun feels like, and which is they are competing with those high-end 2011 guns. But the difference between these two, because I shot 2011s, you still feel the slide moving. So that energy is still there. But this one, it just a snap, snap, and then you can move on. And then that makes a shot really fast. To be honest, it feels really fast, and the flow really fast as well. It's the only thing that you want to go fast, it just becomes your feet. Because the trigger and the gun moves faster than your feet. You thought, oh, I'm still trying to shoot this, but then turns out, hey, I need to move on to the next position and shoot different arrays. So that is what I can kind of explain it a little bit to like a normal people's term. But yeah, this is how that feels on shooting this gun.
Okay. How much time have you had to be able to get out? I know you've only had it about 2 months. So how many times have you been able to get out and shoot it in training live fire?
I train, let's see, ooh, handful as well. Not a lot, but handful, because again, if you have a foundation, a fundamental, then you don't need to worry about too much. But the only thing I'm doing training is I'm trying to adjust the recoil, how to make that gun shoot as accurate as the previous gun I'm shooting. So the group I have on the A-zone target was this when I first started. It's still going to be like A, super, almost C, but now I can be like super close. I only train 3 sessions. Most of the time are dry fire, but 3 live fire sessions. The only thing I will say about this, I'm pretty sure that day you might want to, you are going into this, is everything is good. Everything that sounds good and sounds amazing. The only downside is, hey, the barrel is super close to the trigger guard. So if you are shooting in the training session, if you just dump 3 magazines, 4 magazines at the same time, then yeah, it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot because it's a gas driven gun. It's a gas delay gun. So it's going to be hot. But shooting a match, you're shooting 30 rounds max, then you're waiting for another hour and shooting another one, the gun's already cooled down. That's the difference between practice session and competition. Is that where you're going, Dave?
It wasn't, but that was going to be a question later, because that's the only real downside I've heard is that the barrel can heat up. But I mean, look, I've had my own pistols heat up to where I've had to put them down. So no big deal there. I don't think that's an issue. What I was really getting at was, 1 second. I had to clear my throat.
Always casual.
Now, At what distance have you trained and shot? Because my real question is, with that thing, okay, your dot is quote unquote slide mounted. It's not frame mounted. But like you said, the slide doesn't actually move. Where you're mounting it to does not move.
Yeah, on so, the traditional gun, it's not moving. But for USPSA compliance or IPSA compliance, this thing still needs to move. So the optic is riding on the slide. So it's still moving right here.
Okay. But
the gun that you're showing on the traditional, so basically the Gen 1 or the other kits on the Creator, they mount it on here, which is basically on here. And that thing doesn't move.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me go back to those other kits.
Yeah. So the first, second are not moving. The third and fourth with the optic, because they have to comply with the competition, it is moving. But if you switch, anything is, if you switch the top rail to the second or first one, then you don't have a moving iron sight. You don't have a moving optic, because the only thing that's moving is the slide on the side. But the center ridge is not moving. That's the benefit of getting this gun. But because it is still moving, but then I will still say it's like moving a little. It's not even moving at all. It's crazy.
Okay. Then I'm gonna switch to another question and come back to my original.
Okay.
And that is configuration 1 and 2, are they IDPA compliant?
I don't know about 1, but I know configuration 3 is compliance. Configuration 2 is not, because I believe all the rule says you have to have a recipient slide. So basically the dot needs to move no matter what.
Okay. Now with your lower bore axis, which is what you were talking about earlier, This is where I was going with my question. Look, I know at 25 yards, I'm going to have to slow down. I say slow down. I mean, I'm going to have to watch. It's going to take a little bit longer in my splits than it would at a 15 or a 10 yard target. How, in comparison to a normal gas system, pistol, gas operated pistol, how would you say your, if everything were, you were now comfortable with your gun, let's say you have 10,000 rounds through your gun, so your grip and all that is good. How much do you think your splits would change at longer distance? Meaning, is your dot actually leaving the target, or is it more like an open gun where you're able to maintain that dot on target?
Second one. So I'll say this. Cause I shot this in a 25 yards, training. I also, I'm trying to recall the memory from shooting the platform. So if it's a traditional Browning, it's going to be like this, bang, bang. That's the feeling. But this gun, it's like bang, bang. I can shoot fast. And it's going to be on a target because that gun move is like this. That's the most it's moving. Bang, bang. Instead of bang, bang. The good thing on the website, so Alien does have a YouTube channel and also Instagram. They came out with a video campaign on how comparison this gun recoil looks like. I think the most it's only 4 to 6 degree raise. And then some of the 2011 give you like 7 degree, CZ give you like 7-8 degrees, something like that. The number is probably wrong, but that gives you a significant saying like how small that recoil, because of the benefit of the barrel is riding in the frame, and it also it's right here. So then that inertia is not giving you like a lot of recoil. So hopefully you're finding it right now.
I actually am, and I have found it. I am going.
Oh, you found it? Yeah.
Yep, I'm going to change the screen with which I'm sharing. Let me see here. We'll just go entire screen again. We'll go there.
Yep.
Now, there is there, and I can I can kind of zoom in a little bit here so we can make it bigger. Because, yeah, I did see this before. Let me make it much bigger.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, there we go.
They also showed you the seconds on how the slide is moving. It's only 0.054 seconds on Alien. So meaning that slide moving super fast. So you don't feel, once you feel that energy, it's already, the recoil is going back. The slide is already closed. You finish all the cycle. So see, 10 degree, 0.056. It's fast, but this one shows you the degree on where the barrel is. And then the millisecond is, 7-8 degree. And the slide is really slow. And that's one of the reasons I feel, I shot 2011s. And you can feel like the gun is like, choom, 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 even though they're shooting 124s. I'm like, oh, okay. Comparison. This gun is going to be just snap, snap, and it's gone.
Yeah, and I'm going to pause it here because I think this is a good spot. And what you were talking about was the CZ Shadow 2 has a 10-degree jump, but the slide does return pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the Staccato, it has a shorter angle of jump at 8.5, I think. But it took longer for the slide to actually return back down all the way so you would be flat again. And the Alien was 5 degrees and the faster of the three. But the bigger thing with it in the shadow is the shadow is not much farther behind in terms of slide speed, the reciprocating speed, but it's double the jump. So, you know, I would think this is where it would cause more issues with a newer shooter who's, you know, still trying to learn the movement of the dot, where that if you're an experienced shooter, master, GM, that 5-degree angle and rapid return of the slide, dude, I can't imagine what 15 and 25 yard splits would be with that gun.
Yeah, and then some of the people might not agree with this video. They'll be like, well, I can still hold the gun really tight, or if I have a right fundamental, then I can still make that recoil almost non-existent. But then again, if you use that grip angle or grip strain to grip the Alien, you are going to overcompensate it. That is what I experienced. I'm not saying that other people might experience the same thing, but that's what I experienced, because I will grip the gun the same way I hold Canik, grip the gun, and if my first time shooting Alien, it's always, I notice myself, I will drive that gun like down, and it's always like a funny thing. Another funny thing is this is a very, very good tool, because it is so accurate, the recoil is almost minimal. So if you're trying to like drive the gun down, you will feel that before you pull the trigger, or even when you're shooting, you know, oh, okay, I drive the gun further than I supposed to do on this gun. So that's what that is.
The way you hold that gun and the way that gun looks, it almost looks, every time you do it, I'm like, man, that gun is small enough.
Oh,
that I feel like I could carry it every day.
Yeah, it's a 4.8 inch barrel, so it's not full size. So it looks smaller, but it is a 4.8. It is a 4.8 inch barrel, so it does look like a Glock 19 feeling. But I'll say this, more like a Glock 19X, because this is still a full size, but this part definitely it's shorter, for sure. Yeah, that's the gun that you're seeing. Yeah, 4.8.
Now, what sight are you running on top of that thing?
Shield sight, RMSX. That's the one I am running for several years now. Very, 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 very awesome sights that I'm using. Yeah.
What size dot is that?
Eight MOA.
Okay.
Yeah. So even though with this, I know the window is, it's large for some people, but yeah, that dot is like not leaving. If you have a proper grip, that dot is not leaving at all. And I have several people, grandmasters down to people shooting competition for a long time, 3 decades in our local club. Some of people say, hey, I never shot the Alien. Can I try it? They shot it and said, oh, this does feel like an open gun. This does shoot like an open gun. It's weird. So that's what they're all say, is that the gun shoots like an open gun, even though no compensated.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go back to the other screen because I want to show something. I'm going to crop this down a little bit too. This is from your Instagram. Now, what match is this?
Oh, this is just a local practice match. We always have local match once. Well, funny thing, three times at this particular range. This is basically my club, my local club. So this one, I'm shy. So I got 2 alphas, all steel and Alpha Charlie. So I know that. So that's why I was like, oh, almost GM. If I change the score, if I change to 2 alphas, then I'm GM on this stage. And funny thing, I'm shooting limited optic, and you can see that I don't have a Magwa on. That's the masking tape. so
what?
Yeah, I'm not shooting with the Magwa. Even without the Magwa, I'm almost like GM.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, when you're engaging those steel, what does your dot look like? Meaning, and I don't mean size wise, I mean, but how that they look like you're transitioning very quickly, very yes. easily.
Very,
so
very.
What are you seeing?
I just see the dot is it's like this. If it's a speed, it's like, yeah, it's like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not leaving the window. So you will still see that red dot very clear is jumping. So all you need to do is just ding, 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 and it's there.
Okay, so it is staying in the window.
It is staying in the window. It's ridiculous fun. That's why I didn't get the full video on the bat, because the guy with the timer, his name is Robert Wyatt. Very respected person. I love this guy so much. He's the one introduced me, teach me all the way from C class all the way to B class, A class, master. He gave me the idea of like, hey Frank, don't worry about classifier, you'll get there. So it's kind of like the person. He always encouraged people. So he was holding a timer, and once he finished it, he's looking back, and he's like, whoa. So he was surprised as well, even though engaged with the steel target first and then paper, and then he was looking at targets like 4.8 seconds, and he just like, whoa. He never thought that gun can shoot fast. So.
Okay.
That's a funny thing, that from people's perspective, they're all like, whoa, this gun can shoot fast. It's crazy. And then if you look at, so since you're on my Instagram, on the last post, I believe it was my first match that I shot. And then some of the side, there's no personal view, but there's some side. You can see that gun is like not moving at all. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, not this one. Last. Even. This is the same match. Yeah.
All right. Hold on a second, because I'm not. I don't see it on your Instagram.
It's on that really, really weird grilled thing, digital wise. So it is the second, third reel.
This?
Oh no.
No. Let me go back then. Let me go here. This thing.
This one. Yeah.
Okay, I got you now.
So that gun. You see that? It's not even moving. It's like,
no, it doesn't look like it's moving at all. It doesn't look like you're shooting.
Yeah. And this is the first time I pick up this gun and shooting the match. So I know some of the thing I can shoot, still shoot fast, but I'm just like still adjusting. So, but this is the first stage I shot on the day, but the end of the stage on this match is where you see that potential that you can rapid fire this thing and still shoot four alphas. There is a static target with four targets, and I shoot 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then both alphas, and which is the video coming up next. So this one.
Okay. Somebody's got a pretty big beard.
Yeah. So dot, 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 and then that's rapid fire, almost not seeing a dot, just point and shoot, and then still alphas on there. I thought it might be Alpha Charlie or something, or Alpha Delta, but no, it's all alphas.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, that thing does not move. It's very, very flat.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive. I should have screen recorded this, and then I could actually show it in a larger version, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So overall, your happiness with it on a scale of 0 to 10 is a what?
To me, for shooting this gun, my skill or the gun? Gun is always 10. It's always the person. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't feel like, unless your name is Eric Griffel, you're probably not rating your shooting a 10.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So gun performance wise, fantastic. It does need, okay. So think about this. If we are driving Toyota, if we're driving Honda, you don't necessarily need maintenance until you hurt something or you felt something, right? Then it's a time, oh, maybe it's an oil change. Oh, maybe it's a break, right? It's always like that. Same thing with the traditional gun, the traditional Browning tilting barrel. You never want to clean that gun until you feel, oh, okay, the trigger is mushy. Oh, the slide is not moving correctly. Then it's the time to clean the gun and whatnot. But Alien, you do need to treat it like an AR-15, or you need to treat it like a high-end Lamborghini or Porsche. That you do need to take care very, very detail on this kind of stuff, just like taking care of high-end cars. So because this gun, it's a gas operating system, you cannot shoot coated bullet. You have to shoot jacket bullet, because the foul might get into the system. And then because this system is run by the, I'll just show you right here. The takeout is almost like an AR-15 as well. So that's where you take out the top, and then all you need to do is just take it out like this. So that's the top, that's a slide, and this part. This is where you can change to a different stuff, right? So this is the slide, and this is the heart of the gun. This is the piston system. So that's the piston.
Oh. That's what you want.
So yeah, it does run by the chamber. It does carbon build up more, but if you are using a coated bullet, it might get into that system and then not function correctly. So that's another thing you do need to take care of, good care of it, is you have to shoot full metal jacket. You have to.
Now, but I thought the coated bullets were supposed to be less fouling.
That's what people said, but still causing problems.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe on the traditional guns, you're good to go, but with this gun, they are reporting shows there are more malfunction caused by the coated bullets. So in the manufacturer, they specifically tell every shooter, every owner, do not shoot. If you want this gun to run correctly in a competition, of course, in a competition. If you're just shooting normally, sure, occasionally, you're okay. But again, if you are shooting competition, if you want this gun to function 100% correctly, full metal jacket is the only way to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have Now, have you only shot 124s out of there, or have you shot 115s or any other weighted?
Those matches that you saw is 115 factory rounds, because I haven't developed my own rounds yet. So I just buy PMCs or SMBs or Blazer. I just run through that.
Okay.
And that's why people say, oh, factory 115? Wow, that feels really soft shooting 115 factory.
And there's no reason, we would chat off the air about spring tension and stuff with the other pistols, but it doesn't seem like this is something that, with a piston-driven system, we're not talking spring tension here, spring weight.
No. Everything... The only thing that you need to know, or the shooters, or maybe the owner needs to know, is how much energy that's pushing out from that bullet, meaning the FPS. So if you are shooting a factory but very soft 115, oh yeah, there might not function correctly, because that gas doesn't have enough gas to push that piston back.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So to put that in the terms a lot of people could understand, if you're shooting a 125 power factor or less, there may not be enough oomph to drive that piston.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the compensator idea. People are saying like, oh, compensator, why am I shooting this? It doesn't feel like it's compensated, because it doesn't have enough gas to push the gun down. So it's the same thing on this one. So most of the people, I will say this, is people will load normal 130 power factor, or maybe 128 power factor, 130 between the time on the traditional Browning tilting system. But this, you do need to load a little bit hotter for that. So using the turn on reloading, I'm pretty sure everybody knows the data, right? 124 is about 3.7 type group. Something that idea, 3.7. This, you need a low 4.2 start.
Oh, wow.
To give you more oomph, because that gas will lose a lot of power factor once it pushed out. So that is one of the reasons why I haven't developed any ammos yet. I'm going to develop that today. So I'll take it to the range and I start 4.2 and just try it out. If it's too much, then I'll go down. But most of the people are saying you should start 4.2 on 124s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now let's talk that trigger real quick.
Mm.
Do they know what the weight of that trigger pull is?
3.5 to 4 pounds.
Whoa. Okay.
But funny thing is, I thought it was sub 3, because the take up is almost minimal. It's like, that's the trigger and that's a take up, and that's it. So it is very, very minimal. Let me put the system back and kind of run through what that looks like. Because now it's not moving. Because the only thing that this is moving that leverage inside to push the sear off. That's about it. So that's why, let me put the system back and kind of demonstrate it.
Yeah, I'm making you bigger on the screen so we can see it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I haven't been posting all of the videos, but I'm posting the video for this one because there's too much going on to not
notice that, right?
Yeah.
See, I usually do it really fast, but I'm getting shy on the video as well. So I'm just taking my time. Okay. Now I'm putting this back now because YouTube doesn't like that. So I know we're not posting YouTube, or maybe we will. So I'm not telling everybody how to take it out. Okay. So there you go. So that is cocked. There's an indicator right here showing that it's cocked. It's a reverse hammer. So the hammer is on the top. Once you pull the trigger, the hammer will swing down and hit the firing pin inside. So that's a trigger safety, and that's a take up. Yep. That's it.
Holy cow. That's nothing.
Yeah. So that right here, that's the take up.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a reset. Same thing on the wall. That's on the wall now. So trigger safety, trigger take up. That's it. Break. And then reset. That's it. Back to the wall.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 3.5-4 pounds, but it does feel like a sub three because it's just minimal of everything. So, but I got my trigger gauge and it turns out, okay, it's 3.5 pounds. But maybe when I break it even more, maybe it might go down a little bit. You never know.
Right. So in your live fire training that you've done, have you tried to do trigger prep and actually pull the trigger too far back?
You know what? I feel like I, in that point, I get familiar with the new platform really fast. So I don't feel that. Because it's already on the wall. So how far can you go, technically? It's already on the wall. So when you pull the trigger, it's already there. Right? See? I pull the trigger and it's already there. Because it's a very, very solid feeling right there. So that's why I don't overpress it. There is a very, very tiny over travel, but see, there's a little bit over travel, but again, once you understand the technique, you should just prep, pull the trigger, and immediately coming back to the wall. So that's what I got the technique down. It's you just have to just release that, and then it's already on the wall. Yeah. So I never over prep the trigger. Let's just say that.
Well, yeah, it almost seems like you don't even really need to prep the trigger. All you have to do is just, and I'm sure you can feel it under the pad of your finger, is basically just depress the trigger safety.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
Oof. Okay. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Awesome gun. Awesome.
Now, did it, when Lago sent you the gun,
mm-hmm.
did it come with a holster or did you have to find somebody to make a holster for you?
Since I'm shooting limited optic, I do use the Race holster. So I'm not using Kydex, but if I'm shooting IDPA, I do need to take this gas pedal out to run like a normal, just like this, normal gun. I do need to find somebody to make the holster for it. But they are looking into some OEM companies making it for Lago right now, the design for the new limited optic kit. Other than that, I just kind of use whatever I have and just reheat it and then form into this gun. So the dimension looks like a Glock. So dimension, it feels like a Glock holster. So if you use a Glock holster to modify, you're good to go. So I have a Glock holster somewhere and modify to fit this for IDPA. But in the future, right, would I change it? Yes. There are several companies that are making it right now, including Red Hill Tactical. They are making holsters for the new limited optic guns.
Nice. Okay. Well, good for them. They're I won't call them local, but they're semi-local. They're about 2.5 hours from me. They're not that far.
All the East Coast states are close to you.
I know. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you're smack in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in Utah. I need to travel to Idaho. That's like 4 hours drive, 5 hours. So I'm just like, all right, going to Vegas, that's another 6 hours, even though it's like right next to each other. But all the Western states are ginormous.
Let's see. 5 hours from here, I can be in New York City. North.
Oh, my gosh.
I could be middle of North Carolina South. So, yeah.
East Coast.
But everywhere I turn, I'm also, bumping into people. So, oh, yeah,
that's true.
Whereas you guys have a little more space, you know, you have room to breathe.
A little bit more. A little bit.
Yeah.
I was getting packed now as well.
All right. So You've got the gun, you got everything set up, you're getting used to things, the dry fire starting to feel good. What's your match schedule looking like this year?
The next match I'm shooting, official IDPM match, is going to be the May Rocky Mountain Regional and / Colorado State IDPA match down in Grand Junction. That's where I'm shooting. I am shooting IDPA National. We'll see. It's hot, but yeah, I might shoot that one, and then I will shoot Area 2 in Arizona this year because Shieldside is able to kind of help out a little bit, so I'm going to shoot that match. Not yet ready to shoot National USPSA match just because I still want to make sure I got this gun mastered. So I will see. So I'm continuing going to shoot some surround area states. So Idaho states, maybe Nevada states, maybe so Colorado State. I'll be traveling nearby states to start getting into some state championships or sectional championships. So those are me shooting the match right now. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm shooting the major one is going to be, of course, Utah State USPSA, Utah State IDP, Idaho State USPSA, that kind of stuff. But not an area one is already full, and this is before I got the gun, they're already full. So I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm not going to shoot the area one, but area two I am because it's in November, yeah, that's where I'm going to start with this gun. Traveling around with everybody trying out the gun as well.
Now that Lago has created a gun specifically for limited optics, has there been any discussion on their end to start sponsoring anything?
You mean sponsoring the match, everything?
I mean matches, yes. Obviously, you're a shooter. Well, there's two parts, really. Sponsoring matches, and the other question I was going to ask you, but I'll go ahead and toss it in there as part two. Are they going to grow their team?
Yes, right now they are looking into. So the first one they sponsored is the South Carolina sectional, which is Tom Castro's match. They have the booth for people trying out the logos there. Right now they're just using this idea to kind of spread the words and say, hey, we're here. We have some shooters around the nation that are using this gun, and hopefully they can perform good matches. And I think last one they are sponsored, it was IPSC National, so down in Rio, Arizona, right?
Okay.
So they were there. They have a booth set up and for people to shoot Lago as well. They do have a team from Czech Republic to shoot this gun in IPSC National because IPSC is okay with this into production optic and also production division.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. So this gun is legal to shoot production optic and IPSC and also the production division, especially this gun on the top. Because the Gen 1, once they remove the magwell, it's just like a normal gun. It's not going to fall off like the modular gun, like the Gen 2. But those guns are the one that it's legal to shoot IPSC. So if you switch the bottom out, of course, you do need to find the gunsmith or maybe go back to the factory for them to switch out the part. Then you're able to shoot with that configuration in IPSC.
Interesting. Okay.
So they have a team. So Neil's got first, and the team member, I believe his name is Michael, because European have a different spelling. So Michael got second place. Production.
Oh, you mean recently at IPSC Nationals?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to have to look this up now.
Yeah.
All right. Scores. Found if I just type in Rio, it pops right up.
Or IPSC National. I think I'm pretty sure it's going to be IPSC Nat.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
But I've already, when I go into Oh yeah, Michael Stepan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very, very good shooter in Europe. So he is second place in production, right behind Niels. I don't know how much difference.
But 19 points.
Yeah, 19 points. That's only four alphas. Three alphas.
23 points ahead of Sal Luna.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very good. And his membership number is CZECH. Check.
Yeah, there's your international. Yeah.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very interesting.
Think about Niels, right? He's tall enough. He's two steps. It's everybody's three to four steps. So that's one of the advantage on that one.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was actually...
He's not tall. He's shorter than me.
Right, but he was, shockingly enough, he was actually more accurate than Niels. He had 263 alphas versus 256 for Niels. Niels had more Charlies, more Deltas, same number of Mikes. What killed him was a no-shoot.
Yeah. Probably too accurate to shoot a no-shoot.
Yeah, exactly. And, he was less than 2 seconds behind Niels. He was like 1.81 seconds behind speed-wise. So, yeah, that no-shoot killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's a very good shooter, apparently.
Very, very good shooter. But, yeah, if the statistics showing that there's more alphas by shooting Alien, so this gun is ridiculously accurate. That's why I'm saying, like, when I shoot 25 yards, it's going to be like pew, pew. It's faster, and I can still get two alphas.
I didn't hear anything about this guy there and shooting an alien, so that's interesting. Very quiet.
Yep, that's an alien gun, and then very, 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 very good shooting platform. Very, very, very good. Love it.
Okay. Now, what are your thoughts on Eric Griffel and his son Robin coming to Carry Optics Nationals in June?
Oh, Eric is coming?
Eric is there. Well, yeah. I mean, he's already registered.
Well, I didn't sign up Carry Optics National just because I'm shooting limited optic now. So I didn't follow the news. And then funny thing, because I'm family business, family situations, right? And kind of taking a break. I tend to kind of separate myself into those news. So I don't know anything until I come back and start looking around and say, oh, IPSC National is coming. Oh, this is coming. Oh, who signed up? Oh, that kind of stuff. So Carry Optic division, it's almost like behind me now, just because I'm shooting limited optic.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up now. There we go. The match. But I mean, it's been I want to say more than 10 years since Eric has come over.
Yeah, it's been a while. I know it's a long time because And he hasn't shot Carry Optic for a while. He always shot production.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you go
production optic or Carry Optic, that's something.
Yeah. But I think it's just because because it's a standalone and it's far enough in front of all the other nationals. Like Christian can shoot it and it doesn't affect his ability to win open nats, you know, it doesn't same with everybody else. Aaron Eddins, anybody who wants to shoot Carry Optics nats who shoots a different division can, because there's still plenty of time afterwards to get prepped for nationals in your native division.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's probably bring up the question that everybody's, I know this is not debate, but some of people are saying that, like, why not just one nationals?
Right. Yes. And I still I think we should do that just for monetary purposes, but.
Mm-hmm. But it's been a topic since I started shooting as well. It's like, oh, people can shoot this division and that division and that division in different nationals, or why not just do one national and so people can only shoot one division, right?
Right.
So
until next time,
don't be a little bitch.
Yeah.